The last time we were in the book of Esther together, we read of a great celebration among the Jewish people. They had fireworks available to them. Our own Independence Day celebrations a few weeks ago would have been maybe somewhat similar to theirs. But the Jews were celebrating nothing less than their complete deliverance from the impending destruction. And it was an event worth celebrating. Well, we're going to head back to Esther chapter 9 this morning. As we head back there together, we find that Mordecai believed that this celebration needed to continue. It wasn't enough for it to take place just that first year, but it needed to happen every single year after that. And so, beginning in verse 20 of Esther chapter 9, we read what he did next. Esther 9, verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. You know, as I was reading these verses for the first time this last week, I couldn't help but think about some of the Thanksgiving proclamations that have been written in our own nation's history, because it kind of matches up with what we just read. In 1863, right in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the Day of Thanksgiving. These were his words. "It has seemed to me fit and proper that God's gifts should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." You know, we've had times of thanksgiving in our nation's history. The Jews had times of thanksgiving in their history, multiple times. But it's interesting that the big difference between President Lincoln's proclamation, and you can go back to President Washington's proclamation, and even down to the Pilgrim's proclamation for Thanksgiving, the difference between those proclamations and Mordecai's proclamation that we just read about, is that in Mordecai's proclamation right here in the book of Esther, there is no mention of thanksgiving at all. And even more, there's no mention of God himself. Now, that's not to say that thanksgiving to God didn't happen back then, because I'm sure it did. It's just not mentioned here in the text. Why would this take place? I believe, once again, the Holy Spirit is showing to us the hidden hand of God's providence in all of this. Yes, God is there, but he wants us to see that even in the ordinary details of life and events and history itself, God is still active. God is still at work. God is still providentially in control, and we can trust him even when it seems like, even when it feels like God is absent. But I believe that in this passage, Mordecai himself illustrates for us how all of God's people can and should, in the words of Psalm 77:11, remember the works of the Lord. Because clearly what took place in all of the book of Esther, and we've already covered almost 9 full chapters, and chapter 10 is just a few verses. But in all of those verses, we have seen the works of God. Even though God is not mentioned, God's hand is clearly evident. And that is why Mordecai told his people, we need to celebrate this every single year, because God's hand is in this. And that is why we as Christians need to look to the Word of God and look to the work of God to always celebrate what He has done for us. Remember the works of the Lord. And so, beginning here in verse 20 of chapter 9, we read about Mordecai's new message to his people. Remember, the first message was the day that they were to defend themselves. The day that was for their destruction, it turned out to be their day of deliverance. That was his first message. But now, after their deliverance, after they've been rescued from their enemies, after they've already spontaneously combusted in celebration on the day of their rest, verse 20, it all got back to Mordecai, and Mordecai thought, this is what needs to take place every year. And so Mordecai wrote these things. He wrote it down. Now, some commentators believe that this writing is referring to the entire book of Esther. We're not entirely sure. It could probably just be what takes place in the verses that we just read. But he wrote these things down. Why? Because he wanted God's people to know what happened. He wanted to have them a permanent record of how God was working providentially in their lives and as a nation. So Mordecai, verse 20, wrote these things down and then sent letters unto all the Jews, which were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. And again, we see God's hand in this. Because if Mordecai was not in that position of authority there in all of the empire of Persia, how would that message get out? Yet God put him there for this time and for this place as well. Now, why did Mordecai do this? Why did Mordecai give this message to his people? Why did he use all of the authority and power that was granted to him by the king of Persia to simply establish a new holiday for the Jews? Well, I think, first of all, it's because as a Jew, he understood the great importance of a continuous record of God's hand and work in their lives. A continuous record. You see, after the great deliverance of the Jews, and after the spontaneous celebrations that took place, Mordecai wanted there to be a permanent and a continuous record of all of these events. And no doubt, the intent of this record was biblical and spiritual. As we've gone through this entire book, I've seen Mordecai to be a man of great character, a man that demonstrates much fruit, as we would as a Christian. Mordecai was just simply following the example and the instructions given by God for his people. You see, much of the Old Testament had already been written. Much of the Old Testament had already been given to the Jews. And Mordecai understood likely much of what we find in the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7, it talks about how God has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel that he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And I believe that was probably one of the main reasons why Mordecai took up that pen, took up that tablet, and started writing this down and sending it out all throughout the empire to all of the Jews, because he wanted them and their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren to hear about the wonderful works of God that took place right there in the Persian Empire. This is what he wanted all of the parents to do and the responsibility that they had. And of course, I can imagine him going back to when he was just a father, to his own adopted daughter, Esther, who loved her and cared for her and was teaching her all of the other things that God had done for her and for her people. And he wanted the other Jews and the other Jewish children to learn the same. And so he wrote this down. He gave a continuous and permanent record. Mordecai did not want his people to ever forget their deliverance during this time of their history. And of course, who else could deliver them in such a way but God himself? And so this record in Esther has caused all of the true people of God ever since to set their hope in God. This particular book, even though it doesn't have the name of God in it, yet it is truly an inspired book. And believers across all ages have come to this book and have seen the hand of God providentially on display and have taken great comfort, great hope in the God who gives us his direction, even in times where it seems like he's missing. The intent of this record was a spiritual one. And we see also the extent of this record. It was sent to all the Jews, both nigh and far. So wherever they lived, all throughout the empire of Persia. Now, why did he do this? Because they needed to know that there was more to this story than they had just heard. If you were a Jew living in one of those provinces, you would have heard about the first decree, which was the decree for their destruction, issued by Haman. And then you would have heard the second decree, which was the one instituted by Mordecai, which allowed them to defend themselves from their enemies and ultimately triumph over their enemies. But in the meantime, there was a lot of the details that were missing. If you were living in Shushan, you probably would have heard about Mordecai and Esther and all the intrigue of the palace. But if you were living in one of those other provinces, you may not have known all of these details. And Mordecai wanted them to know what happened. And he wanted them to see God's hand in this, even as he saw God's hand in this. After all, he is the one that told Esther, who knows if you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so it was important for them to know all that took place, no matter where they lived. One of the things that we can gather from this is that we too have been given a continuous record of the wonderful works of God. Do you realize that? What we have is a greater record all throughout the Bible. Esther, of course, is included in this, but from Genesis to Revelation, the record that we have is the complete Word of God. It was inspired by God, it was penned through His people, and now we have for us a complete account of the historical records of God's work in and through His people. It is an inspired history. And there are so many accounts, just like what we find in the book of Esther, how God is the one who is able to deliver His people from destruction. How many other times have we seen this motif and this theme all throughout the Bible? We go back to Genesis and we see what happened with a flood and how God was going to destroy the world with a flood and then delivered mankind through Noah and his family. We see it going on in the life of Joseph and Jacob and all of the brothers and how they were all going to be destroyed by famine. And yet God had chosen Joseph to go down into Egypt before his brethren to save them and rescue them even from that. And so over and over and over again, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, we find God bringing deliverance to his people from destruction. And of course, ultimately, that leads us to the greatest deliverer and the greatest deliverance, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, from our sin and the destruction that we deserve for our sin. God has given us this inspired history. What a book the Bible is. Because just like Mordecai's record, the Bible has also been given to us, second, for a continuous remembrance. You know, it's one thing to have a book. It's an entirely different thing to read it. It's one thing to have a historical record. It's another thing to learn from it. If it's not read, if it's not remembered, that history is not going to do you any good. And that's why those who do not learn from history are going to be condemned to repeat it. How many of us remember the history lessons that we've had in college or high school or even in grade school? Some of those history lessons are vital. Some of those things are important so that we don't repeat our mistakes. Well, Mordecai sent his letters out so that his people would not just receive them, but then read them and then remember every single year for the rest of their lives, for the rest of the life of the Jews, to remember that great deliverance. That was the point of him writing this down. And we see this there in verse 21. Mordecai wrote this, why? To establish among them, among all the Jews, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same 2 days every single year. Yearly. So Mordecai made a proposition that the Jews would make a brand new holiday to help them remember the events of those times. And he gives them a confirmation to remember. A confirmation. He says, I want you to keep these days. I want you to observe these days, these same days of celebration. Just like you celebrated them when you had final rest from your enemies, I want you to celebrate the same way every single year for as long as you exist. The same days of celebration in the same ways that you've done for the same reasons. Give gifts to everybody. If there's someone in need, give them something that you have. Have a great feast and a great festival. Enjoy yourselves because you've been delivered. You've been saved. You've been rescued from the destruction that you are going to face. So basically, Mordecai is saying, keep it up. Keep it up. And I believe as we look at this festival, even though today in Jewish circles, as they keep the Feast of Purim, they don't recognize it as a spiritual holiday. It is more of a national, more of a civil holiday. And it's a great party for many of them. I read one writer say that the Feast of Purim is more like a Jewish Mardi Gras. And in many ways, in many places, it kind of is. But I do believe that back then, Back then, the people that were celebrating the Feast of Purim understood that this kind of celebration was consistent with God's instructions to His people. Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." You see, back then, they even saw the hidden hand of God for themselves. And they were there to remember the marvelous works that God has done. And that's why a significant part of Mordecai's letter gave them the content to remember. And I believe the content of his letter is found in verses 24 and 25. We're going to jump down there here for a moment. And this is what he says. The reason why he wanted them to keep this festival is because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, we've heard all of these things before, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther, or when it came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which we had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. What we have in verses 24 and 25 is a summary of what took place, and an explanation to the Jews why they should continue this celebration every single year as a new national holiday. It's because they needed to remember. Even in our own nation, they have set up holidays for us to remember. Memorial Day, to remember all those who have sacrificed themselves for our freedoms. Labor Day, for those who are working. Veterans Day, for those who may still be living and who fought for our freedoms. Thanksgiving Day, all of these things. Independence Day. The Feast of Purim was a day to remember. What were they to remember? Verse 24, they were to remember their danger. The danger that they were really in. Talks about Haman and his motive as the enemy of all the Jews. He hated them with a passion. It was an ancient hatred. He was from the line of the Agagites, which had hated the Jews and fought against the Jews for many, many years. And we even see the method of his hatred. He cast Pur, it says. He cast a lot. He was basically playing games with the lives of God's people. And they needed to remember the great danger they were in. But then he said, you also need to remember your deliverance. The deliverance found in verse 5. But when, in the King James Version, it says, but when Esther came before the king. Now, again, as we mentioned this morning, sometimes in the Authorized Version, there's a word that's italicized. And that's the case here as well. Esther is italicized because she is not specifically mentioned in the Hebrew text. It could also be translated, it came before the king, or the matter came before the king. This issue that Haman was trying to bring about to the kill all the Jews came before the king. But remember, Mordecai is writing these words. The point seems for Mordecai that it was not the actors involved in this story, but the action itself. It was the deliverance of the Jews that mattered more to him than he and Esther getting credit for this. Because I believe the Jews would have known who the true hero was. Even without God being mentioned, they knew that their God, Jehovah, was the hero of this time. He was the one who providentially brought all of this to pass. It seemed like Mordecai and Esther were content to be invisible. To simply be used by the Lord so that God's hand could be clearly seen. It reminds me of Abraham's servant in Genesis 24 who said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And that's the way it was for Abraham. That was the way it was for Esther. That was the way it was for Mordecai. And so they wanted to give the true king the credit. The true one who was in control. And so the Lord himself caused Haman's decree to return upon his own head like a boomerang. They needed to remember their great deliverance. And they needed to do so in a similar way. Something that we can see from this is that we are not much different than the Jews of this time. God has given us the continuous record of His Word so that there can be a continual remembrance of His works. What happened back then by the pen of Mordecai has happened to us with the Word of God. He's given us this record, this book, this Bible that you have in your lap, so that you can then remember the wonderful works of God. Especially what we see here in the book of Esther, but all throughout the Scriptures. Even as Mordecai was able to summarize the entirety of the book of Esther in those two verses, Isn't it a wonderful thing that even our own deliverance as children of God can be summarized in just a few words? Even though it can be expanded and expounded into a book this big, and book after book, we're familiar with the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which gives us the record of our own deliverance from our own impending destruction because of our sin. 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen." Just like the Jews in that day, we as the people of God need to continually remember God's deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we were in just as much danger and even more danger than they were. We were in danger because of our sin, and we were in danger of having our souls separated from God for eternity. And yet God stepped into our history by sending Jesus Christ into our life. And He stepped into our own personal history by sending someone with a message, the good news of the gospel, so that we could hear it, that we could believe it, that we could receive it, and then we could be saved. And with that salvation, now we who were to be destroyed can now be delivered. That record is worth remembering. That record is worth you remembering in your head and remembering in your heart. God's deliverance is what the record of the Bible is all about. And when you remember that, you know what it's going to cause? The same thing that took place back in Esther's day. Number three, it'll lead to a continuous rejoicing. A continuous rejoicing in verse 22, just like the celebrations enjoyed by the Jews. It says, "As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and even gifts to the poor." And as the Jews remembered the record of their deliverance, how did they respond? They rejoiced in all that was done. And Mordecai says, keep doing it. Keep doing this year after year. It was to be a contrast to the sorrow that they first felt when they heard that they were to be destroyed at the hands of Haman and his allies. Remember what they felt when they first got that news? Keep your finger here in Esther 9 and go back to chapter 4 with me. Because you have to go back several chapters to find out how they felt when they first received the news that they were to be destroyed, legally hunted on that day. It says in verse 3 of chapter 4 that in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, this is Haman's doing, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Let your eyes linger over those words that we just read, and try to feel what they must have felt when they heard that they were, and their families, and their communities, to be completely annihilated. It is no wonder that when they were delivered on that day, that they spontaneously broke out in celebration. They could not contain their joy. There was like a volcano of joy springing up into their hearts, and they had to yell and shout and praise the one who delivered them. So yes, it was to be a contrast to the sorrow that they felt in chapter 4, but then it was to be a celebration like no other. George Lawson says that Mordecai wished that the Jews to be ever mindful of their sorrows so that their joy might be full. Even as Christians today, we need to sometimes think about who we were and where we've been, but don't linger too long there. Because now think of the deliverance, the great deliverance that God has given to you if you have Jesus as your Savior. And there ought to be erupting in our hearts a volcano of joy and rejoicing. And so, just like the Jews, their great deliverance turned their sadness into gladness, their sighing into singing, their musings into music, their tears into triumph, and it caused them to share that celebration with others. They sent portions one to another and even gifts to the poor. What a celebration that must have been. And Mordecai says, keep it up. Don't let the memory fade. Don't forget the wonderful works of God that He's done in your life and for your children and for your grandchildren. Keep it up. And isn't that what the good news and the good record of God's deliverance does to poor sinners like you and like me? Do you realize there is a day that this can happen in every person's life? Not just a Jew, but a Gentile. Not just someone who's in bondage, but someone who's free. All of us can have this kind of day happen to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, are gloriously saved from our sin, and even from our well-deserved destruction from God. But you know what's going to happen? If you have Christ in your life, there can be, and there ought to be, this continual rejoicing, this continual celebration. Paul says it this way in Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we now have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Christians ought to be rejoicing people. Why? Because of the record of your deliverance. The record that we have of Christ coming to die on the cross for our sin ought to cause us to remember it and then rejoice in it. We now have something to celebrate and we have something to share, even as the Jews of old. And then we see that their rejoicing led also to a continuous response in verse 23. What did the Jews do when they got this letter, the second letter from Mordecai? They did it. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun. Really didn't take a whole lot of prodding by Mordecai. They understood the reason. And so they wanted to celebrate year after year after year. They undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them. Now the Jews could have ignored Mordecai's proposal. It would have been their loss. Even today, the Jews celebrate this Feast of Purim. And it is a day, a couple days, that they look forward to. But instead, these Jews responded with agreement to Mordecai. It says they undertook to do as they had begun. The Jews as a whole agreed with Mordecai and with each other to do what he wrote. Again, this was a unifying thing among the people of God. And so as a united people, they established this new national holiday. They agreed. And then they continued to respond with application. They didn't just nod their heads in agreement. They actually complied year after year after year, even up until today, with Mordecai's proposal. The Feast of Purim that is celebrated today is a Jewish celebration like no other. I would encourage you to go online and read about what it's like. But even today, Jews recognize this as something of a miracle. One of their rabbis said that the miracle of Purim was disguised in natural events. And isn't that what we've been saying all along through this entire book? It's God's providential working in hand, even through hidden events. And yet His fingerprint still can be seen all over. Oh, we need to have the same kind of response to the good word that God has given to us. And agree to His word in faith. And then apply ourselves to obey and live according to that word. 1 Samuel 12:23 says that we are to be taught the good and the right way, to fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all our heart and consider how great things He hath done for you. Once again, I think that's why Mordecai took that pen and took that tablet, started writing this down, sending it all throughout the empire, because they, as a people of God, needed to consider how great things God hath done for them. Today, let us do the same. Let us consider all the great things that the Lord hath done for us. There is a record of these things, isn't there? There's a record of these things in our own lives, in your own testimony. In fact, on Sunday nights and Wednesdays, I look forward to and I love to hear what God has done and is doing in your life. I love to hear the record that you are portraying of what God has done in your life. But there's an even greater record. And an even more permanent and continuous record in the Word of God that reveals to us His works. The works that He is consistently doing all throughout history. In fact, the book of Esther itself is an inspired record to all of God's people of His great works, even when He seems hidden from our view. So do not forget that God himself has provided to you a continuous record of his works. But why did he do so? Why did he give us this book, this gift of his Bible? It's so that there will be a continuous remembrance among his people. Do not let the word of God stay on a shelf somewhere where you do not read it and study it and dig into it and hear about the wonderful works of God. There needs to be a continuous remembrance of his works in our hearts and lives. Do not forget his work to deliver you from your own enemies and your own sin. Remember what he came to do for you. Psalm 103:5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill." That's our testimony. "That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people." Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget the record of his works, his mighty works. And when that comes into your mind and comes into your heart, let there also be, like the Jews of old, a continual rejoicing. Psalm 67:3, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." It's unfortunate that today, among most Jews, when the Feast of Purim is celebrated, that once again, God is not mentioned. God is not talked about. That should not be the case for those who've been redeemed. We ought to be loving to proclaim it. We are to share with others the great goodness and the great works of God in our life. Has this day of rejoicing come into your life yet? If it has, keep it up, as Mordecai was saying. Keep it up. Keep rejoicing. Keep celebrating God and his wonderful work of deliverance in your life. But if it hasn't, it can be today. You can be delivered from your sin and your impending destruction, your impending doom. Let there be a day of rejoicing in your heart, and then, like the Jews, let there be a continual response to the Lord's work and the Lord's word in your life. Continue to respond. It shouldn't happen every single year like the Jews started doing. It needs to happen every day in the life of a Christian. Every single day is a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, a day of remembering, and a day of responding to the work that God has done in the past and the work that God is still doing in your life in the present. So let's respond and say in our hearts today, along with the psalmist in Psalm 77, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." The record of God's wonderful works, let us remember them. Let us rejoice in them. Let us respond to them every single day in our lives as the people of God. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that we see ourselves once again in the story of Esther. And we see ourselves among all the people of the Jews scattered far and nigh, all throughout the empire of Persia. And they were given a record that could be seen by those who had a heart to see it, your fingerprints all over the deliverance of your people. And Lord, I'm confident that Mordecai understood these things. I'm confident that Esther saw your hand in all of these things. And I'm sure that many of your people, if not most of your people, all throughout those provinces were able to see your providential work in their lives and in their deliverance. And so it was a necessary thing, and it was a proper thing for Mordecai to write it down, to give them a record, a permanent, continuous, faithful record that they could look at. And they could recall to mind all of the danger that they were in and then the great deliverance that you wrought in their life. And that brought them remembrance and rejoicing and response. And so every year they were able to celebrate with the same thoughts of the deliverance that they received from their enemies. Oh, Father, we know that now that thousands of years have elapsed from this time, this era, that the Jewish people, though they still celebrate the Feast of Purim, as we will again look at next week, yet they do not necessarily see your hand of providence in all of their lives and all of their history. Oh, Father, I pray that they will see anew the wonderful work of God, not just to deliver them from their enemies, but to deliver them from their own sin and their own spiritual destruction because of that sin. And to see that the deliverance that they experienced from the dangers they faced from Haman was really nothing compared to the great deliverance that was given to them through the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Oh, Father, we pray for the salvation of Israel. We pray, O Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem, not just the physical, national peace, but, Lord, the spiritual peace that comes from them being reconciled to you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, Father, we're thankful that, as we see from the New Testament, that you have opened up this relationship to yourself with not just those of Jewish descent, but to all who've been created by you. So Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, we can all become one through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given to us a great record of these truths, a great record of the deliverance that is made possible through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that every single one who is sitting here today will look at that record and see that it was written for them. It has been passed down from generation to generation because it's something that every single one of us needs to know. It's something that every one of us needs to believe in order to be rescued and delivered from the destruction that our sin causes. And then, Father, I pray that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, that we will see the same results that we saw and read just here this morning. Oh, Father, may we remember your mighty works of deliverance in our lives. And as we remember, it'll cause us to rejoice, a deep down joy and gladness for who you are and what you've done. And then, Lord, with that rejoicing in our heart, may we respond, not just year after year, but day after day, seeking to serve the God who saved us. Oh, Father, I thank you for the gracious record that you've given to us today. Thank you that you've given us the Word of God to declare unto us the mighty and wonderful works of God so that we can remember them, rejoice in them, and respond to them today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.